All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11. Our church is here to help you grow and to help you take your next spiritual step. Perhaps you've seen up on the screen before the service as our announcements scroll through. Some of the things that we want to emphasize here at our church. And the first thing is loving God. Loving God. When a person comes to Bethel Baptist Church, what do we want from them? What are we hoping that they will do? Well, first of all, we're hoping that they'll love God. Loving God involves being saved, loving Him enough to be baptized, loving Him enough to identify with the local church and join the church, and then just love Him. Lord, we love you. We want to hear the preaching. We want to come Sunday night, Wednesday night. We just want to love the Lord. And loving God is that first step. Well, then the second step is growing together. We need to be growing together as a body of believers. And that's where things start getting involved with, you know, going to the men's cookout so you can get to know some people, growing spiritually, maybe swallowing some of your nerves and saying, okay, preacher, I want to go out soul winning. I don't want to talk. That's okay. You don't have to talk. You can go the first 45, 50 times and you don't have to do the talking. Someone else will do the talking until you're ready, you know. And just learning to grow together as a body where we're getting to know each other. We're befriending people. We're helping each other out. The other day we were at a sale, and we saw some furniture, and somebody said, oh, I knew somebody who could use the furniture, and, you know, just growing together as a body. That's the next step. When somebody's new at our church, we want to go through some important truths with them personally and individually. Some of you are grounded in the faith where you could disciple someone. You could go to them and go through some lesson sheets that we have and help them to grow together with us. It's a wonderful thing. It's a great thing. As we grow together. So loving God, growing together, and then serving others. After that, once they've grown and they've been through a discipleship course and they kind of know where we're coming from, know some things in the Bible, they're loving God, they're being faithful at church, well, then they're ready to serve. They're ready to take on a ministry. You know, Dave has been down. We need somebody to take on a sound ministry. We could use somebody taking on a ministry of picking people up on Sunday mornings. I had a number of people to pick up this Sunday where I couldn't fit them all in my van, so I was on the phone and got one of you to help out. But, you know, that could be a great ministry, picking some people up. Someday we'll have vans or buses and do all that, but for now we're just picking them up in our cars, you know, and bringing them in, as the song says. You could serve in the nursery. You could serve in toddlers, in junior church, singing in the choir. There's so many things. Helping with our website. There's so many things that could be done. And serving together is what we want to do at Bethel Baptist Church. That kind of boils it down, doesn't it? Loving God, growing together, and then serving others. And it is kind of a hierarchy. Sometimes people, you know, they first get saved and they want to teach Sunday school. Well, wait a minute. You know, you got to love God, and grow together, and then you'll be ready to teach some Sunday school. Sometimes, you know, they want to jump right in and sing in the choir. Well, okay. I'm glad for their desire to sing, but, you know, if they're brand new, they just got saved, they need to grow a little bit so that when we tell them, you know, well, when you're up front, you got to dress sharp and look like a godly Christian, that doesn't floor them, you know. So they got to grow a little bit first. Okay, we love God, we grow together, and then we serve others. And that's what Bethel Baptist Church is all about. But we're here to help you grow and take your next spiritual step. Now, here it is Sunday night. And, you know, preachers, we always hear different things. Even in a good church like ours, sometimes there's criticism that comes the preacher's way. Sometimes it's good. By the way, if you have constructive criticism, let me have it, okay? Let me have it. I got tough skin. I'm from Philadelphia. Let me have it. If it's something I need to hear, if it's something I can correct, you know, don't tell me about the mole on my chin. I can't do anything about that, all right? But if it's something I can correct, then tell me about it, and by the Lord's grace, we'll change and we'll grow. But, you know, one thing people say, well, you know, you just preach salvation too much. It's just too basic. Well, I want to feed the flock, too. So tonight, we're going to go a little deeper. And some of you are ready for this. Some of you have grown to the point where you are ready for what I'm going to challenge you with tonight. Now, if I challenge the whole congregation on Sunday morning, some of them would be like, oh, man, that's too deep. I'm not ready for that. But some of you guys are ready for this. And this could be really a life-changing night for you if you latch on to the things that we want to talk about tonight. I'm going to talk about the growth step of Scripture memory. Of Scripture memory. Look down in Deuteronomy chapter 11, and we'll start reading in verse number 19. Verse 18. Deuteronomy 11 and verse 18. Therefore shall ye lay up these words, these my words, in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. Here in verse 18, the Lord tells His people, He says, these words that I'm giving you, the Word of God, lay them up in your heart. A lot of times we'll say, well, I learned that by heart. What we meant is I memorized it. I learned it by heart. I don't just kind of know about it. I got it in here. It's down deep because I memorized it. I've learned it. I've hidden it in my heart. Hide these words in your heart and in your soul. The word soul sometimes is talking about your mind, will, and emotions. Sometimes it's talking maybe deeper about your spirit. But the idea is get God's Word down in deep. Let it become a part of you, not just something that's casual on the outside, something we look at from time to time, but something that totally saturates our life. Be saturated with the Word of God. It says, bind them for a sign upon your hand, and that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. Now, the Orthodox Jews took this literally. And up there where I used to live in Detroit, there was one neighborhood over by where Jonathan used to work at that place. And when I would go to pick him up from work, I'd drive through this neighborhood sometimes. And it was an Orthodox Jewish neighborhood. And they all had the special hats on, and sometimes black top hats, and they dressed, you know, in a certain way. Kind of reminds you of what the Amish would be, but this was Orthodox Jews. And once in a while, you'd see a guy, and he'd be walking down the street, and you'd notice there was something strapped to his hand. It was like a little box. And I knew enough to know that what they did was, they would copy down verses of Scripture and roll them up, kind of like I hate to say it, it's kind of like a fortune cookie that you get, you know, with a little fortune in there at the Oriental restaurant. Don't believe those things. That's a cult. But anyway, they're fun to read them, you know. But anyway, they would write Scripture on these, and they'd roll them up, and they'd put them in that little box. And then once in a while, you'd see a guy with one strapped to his forehead. And what they're doing is they're taking this verse literally, which, you know, all right. But they don't believe Jesus is their Messiah, so they got a long way to go. But I don't think what God was saying was, you know, strap a box up here and a box here. I think what the Lord was saying was, have it where it's always before you, where, you know, it's right there. Maybe written on some cards, it's right there. And I'm going through my cards while I'm waiting in line. Or while my husband's driving, the wife is flipping through her cards and quizzing her husband on some. You know, it's on her hands. It's before their eyes. It's before their eyes. A lot of us have Scripture hanging up in our house, don't we? Okay, it's before our eyes. Let's read a little further. Verse 19. Ye shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. So, in our homes, in our families, we ought to be talking about the Scripture all the time. We ought to talk about it when you're sitting in your house. Here you are sitting around, and maybe at the supper table or whatever, bring up the Scripture. You know, say, hey, what did you think about that verse that the preacher was talking about? Or, hey, what did you get out of your devotions this morning? I don't know, Dad. You know, talk about it in your house, okay, when you sit in your house. Then it says, when you walk by the way. This would compare nowadays to when you're driving. When you're driving someplace, got your family with you? Talk about the Bible. Say, hey guys, guess what one of my favorite verses is? What's one of your favorite verses? We used to do this little game when we were driving with a group of teenagers. We called it the concordance game, where I would tell a teenager, I'd say, say any verse that you know in the Bible. If you don't get it perfect, that's okay. Just say a verse in the Bible. And then this guy, he's after you. He has to pick out one word in that verse and say a different verse that uses that word. And then the next guy has to take one word out of that verse and say a verse that he knows. And they might not know the reference and all that or get it perfectly, but it just helps us to think about the Bible and to have God's Word in our hearts. I called it the concordance game. It was kind of interesting. Help pass the time on long drives and help us focus on the things of God's Word. When thou walkest, by the way, when thou liest down. You know, it's great at bedtime to think about God's law. Think about God's words. It's good to go into the kids' room and say, hey, let's have prayer together. Let's think about the Lord before you go to sleep. When thou liest down, and then when thou risest up. Okay, in the mornings, instead of being grumpy at breakfast, let's talk about the Bible. Let's talk about the Bible. We have a long drive to school, and a lot of times Josh drives, but sometimes I'll take him to school, and the guys know if I'm driving him, I might ask him, not every single time, but I might ask him, hey, what'd you get out of your devotions this morning? Oh, can I borrow your Bible, Dad? I didn't get up early enough this morning, or something like that. Or sometimes they'll tell me, well, it was this, or well, I read this chapter, or I learned this, or I wrote this down. And talk about it. Talk about the Bible. Verse 20, thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house and upon thy gates. That's why we like to hang up scripture signs in our houses. Verse 21, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children, in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. Hey, here's a blessing. Verse 21 says, if you will saturate your life with the Word of God like this, God will bless your life in some incredible ways. And we're going to talk about some of those ways tonight. You know, memorizing God's Word has always been necessary for God's people to live a victorious life. For a serious Christian, Scripture memory has a certain appeal to it. If you're a serious Christian, something's going to resonate in your heart tonight. You're going to think, you know, I would like to do that. I don't know if I will, I don't know if I can, but I can relate to what the preacher's saying. Pastor, there's something in me that has a desire for that. I'll tell you, I've had some great times of blessing as I memorize Scripture. A lot of times when I memorize verses, I like to walk and say them out loud. And first couple times, you got to read it off your Bible or off the card that you wrote it on. And then after a while, you can start to remember it without looking and you just got to glance down. And usually about the 25th time that I say it, I'm able to say it without looking. And I usually say it like 25 times the first day. Then the next time I go back and I say it 20 times. And a lot of times it's on that second day that the meaning of that verse starts hitting home with me. I thought I knew what it meant. That's why I picked out the verse to learn it. But the more I say it, the more I start to see some things and what God's trying to communicate. And sometimes it's like, wow, I knew it was a good verse, that's why I'm learning it, but this is an incredible verse. God, this is wonderful what you've been saying. And sometimes it's exactly what I need for my life that day or that week. And there's great blessings of Scripture memory. And God will use those verses in your life. Sometimes you learn a verse and you say, well, I think it's a good one to learn, but I'm not really sure why right now. And then later on, God uses it in your life. There's great blessings to Scripture memory. And it has appeal for Christian. Now look at Psalm 119. The longest chapter in the Bible, and a chapter in which just about every verse talks about the Word of God. Just about every verse in Psalm 119 talks about the Bible, the Word of God. I want to point out just a couple of them. We just sang a song based on verse 11. Look down there. It says, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Here's a blessing from hiding God's Word in our heart. It makes it so that we might not sin against Him. Now, it's not a guarantee. I know some guys who've memorized Scripture, and they still do that sinful thing that they know is wrong. Okay, it's not a guarantee, but it makes it so you at least have the possibility of victory. Because when the temptation comes, you can battle it with Scripture instead of in your own strength. And then you can be dead to sin and do the right thing as you get God's strength through the Scripture. And we'll see more of that tonight. But thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Look at verse 97. Go down to 97. Let's read this one out loud together. I'll say the reference, and then you jump in and say the verse, and then we'll all say the reference again at the end. All right, it's verse 97. Are you ready? Psalm 119, 97. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Psalm 119, 97. Hey, the two parts of this verse work together. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Those two parts work together. Watch. You can go from one side to the other, or you can go back. You can say, oh, how love I thy law. I love God's law. I love God's word. I love the Bible. And therefore, it's going to be my desire and intent to meditate on it all the day. It is my meditation all the day. I'm going to get a verse for the day. I'm going to take it with me all day long. Think about it. Dwell on it. Memorize it. Make it my verse for the day. It is my meditation all the day. I love God's law, so I'm going to do it. It might work that direction for you. Or, sometimes the verse works the other direction. Because when I meditate on God's word all the day, it helps me love it. And maybe he's saying, I love God's law because I think about it all the time. And the more I think about it, the more I love it. You know, some things, the more you think about it, the less you like it. Some people, the more you know them, the less you like them, right? But God's word is not like that. The more you know it, the more you meditate on it, the more you love it. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. When I memorized that verse, that idea of it going both directions sunk into me. Now, you probably have heard that verse before, but I'll tell you, when you commit a verse to memory and you get it in your heart and in your mind and in your soul, there's something about some of those meanings that the Lord brings out as you meditate on His Word, and it becomes special to you. Scripture memory has an appeal for a serious Christian. But here's the problem, and I include myself in this problem. We lack the discipline. We lack the discipline. We need a plan to follow. We need accountability, and we need some motivation. So tonight I want to give you some motivation. I want to give you a plan that you could follow, and I also want to give you an opportunity for some accountability tonight. And perhaps the Lord would want you to take that step of Scripture memory. So let's talk first of all about the purpose of Scripture memory. Why should we memorize Scripture? What's the purpose? Well, I think we all know that the devil is out to ruin our lives. If you've been saved, the devil's lost your soul. Now he'd like to ruin your life, ruin your testimony, and ruin your future reward. And folks, we're not strong enough to battle the devil on our own. But greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. The Lord Jesus Christ, through the person of his Holy Spirit, is in us. How did Jesus Christ overcome the devil? And therefore, how do we allow Jesus Christ to overcome the devil in our lives? Turn to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, and we're going to look down at verse number 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. That's interesting. He was led to the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Who led him to the wilderness? The Spirit. God doesn't tempt people, but he allows us to be tempted. He allows the devil to try us sometimes. Because Job said, when I am tried, I shall come forth as gold. The Lord's trying to work something special in our lives. So, you know, none of us like trials. Okay, except Mac Lynch. He wrote that song, God's Refining Fire, and in this song he prays for trials to come in his life. I'm like, man, I can't even sing that song. Most of us don't want trials. But look, when the trial comes, don't say, no, God. Say, what do you want to teach me, God? Mold me through it. Chisel some of the rough edges off. Make me a diamond for you. Let me come forth as gold. The Spirit led him up of the devil, led him up into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. There's an understatement. Okay, he didn't eat for 40 days and he's hungry. Well, yeah, we would be too. But I think the idea is he's also weak physically. And Jesus, weak physically, still was able to overcome the temptation of the devil. See, sometimes we think, well, the reason I gave in to temptation is because I was tired, or because I was depressed, or because I was down. Listen, none of us were as weak as Jesus probably was right there. 40 days. 40 days with no food. And in his flesh, in his humanity, he couldn't overcome the devil on his own. We're going to see what he did to get God's strength. Verse 3, when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou wilt be the Son of God, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." Man, that would be a temptation because he's hungry. He could change stones to bread, couldn't he? And the devil says, "If you're really the Son of God, why don't you command these stones to be made bread?" Well, folks, anything the devil wants us to do is not something to do. Well, what would be wrong about making stones into bread? I don't know a Bible principle that says thou shalt not turn stones into bread. But look what Jesus says to him. He answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Jesus says, "Devil, I'm not going to do that because man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God." What a great verse. Look what Jesus said at the start. He said, "It is written." Does anybody have a study Bible that shows them where that is written? Okay, it's actually in the book of Deuteronomy. Jesus is quoting a verse from Deuteronomy where it says, "Man shall not live by bread alone." Deuteronomy 8:3, okay? "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Every word. Well, how did Jesus battle this temptation? He knew Deuteronomy 8:3. And he said to himself, "I'm not going to do what the devil says, but I'm really weak right now, physically, in his humanity." And so he says, "It is written." And probably the devil went, "No, don't say it is written. The Bible's too powerful. I can't get you to do what I want you to do if you're going to quote the Bible and believe the Bible and trust in the Bible." And Jesus says, "It is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Now, if you think about that verse, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word," that verse is teaching us that every word of God is important, and that's how we live. We should live by every single word. But because Jesus had it memorized, he was able to apply it to making stones into bread. He said, "I know a verse about bread. The devil's tempting me about bread. I know a verse about bread. Man shall not live by bread alone." Now, I know he's Jesus, and he knows the whole Bible, but he's also 100% man, like we talked about this morning. And he's giving us an example here, that if we will memorize God's word, the Lord will bring verses to our minds to battle the temptations that we face day by day. But we've got to have that verse in our arsenal. We've got to have it memorized so that we can use it to battle the temptation. And that's one of the powerful things about Scripture memory. The passage goes on in verse 7, after the devil tempts him again. Verse 7, Jesus said to him, "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." And again, he quotes from Deuteronomy. And then verses 8 and 9, the devil tempts him a third time. And we come down to verse 10. "Then Jesus saith unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." And he quotes Scripture a third time. Then look at verse 11. "Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him." Isn't it a great day when finally the temptation is resisted through the power of God's word, and the devil finally leaves us, and the angels come and minister to us? Isn't that great? You've had that happen perhaps in your life where you finally got victory over something. Maybe something that was plaguing your mind. Maybe a lack of forgiveness or a bitterness or something else or a depression. And finally the Lord brought you out. and angels came and ministered to you. Now, whether they're literal angels, they may have been, or whether it's just God's Holy Spirit comforting your heart, could be that as well. But it's through the power of the Word of God that dispels the temptation and kicks the devil out. And boy, verse 11 is something I want to see in my life. And it comes from battling temptation with Scripture. There's many other advantages to Scripture memory. It helps you to build the quality of self-discipline into your life, because you just commit yourself to, even if it's hard, I'm going to learn some Bible verses. By the way, I've already noticed the older I get, the harder it is. You say, Brester, you're not even that old yet. Well, I'm older than I've ever been before. But anyway, you get older all the time, and it gets harder. That's why, young people, you ought to start right now memorizing Scripture. But you know what? I hope I never get too old to memorize. I can't maybe memorize as much as I used to, but I want to keep memorizing God's Word, because it builds that discipline into our lives, helps us do the right thing. Also, it gives you the ability to give God's answer to questions when you're out witnessing. You know, if somebody comes to you and says, well, you know, why do you always talk about Mary being a virgin and that Jesus was born of a virgin? Why is that important? Well, that carries some weight if you, or what if they challenge you? Well, how do you know Jesus was really born of a virgin? And you say, well, you know, the Bible says that you know, she and Joseph didn't have relations and it was a miracle and that she was born of a virgin and the Bible says it. Okay. But wouldn't it be much better to say, well, the Bible says in Isaiah 7:14, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. That shall call his name Emmanuel. It's being interpreted as God with us. And Matthew 1:35, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And if you can turn them right to that verse and show them right from the Scripture, that's a lot more powerful, isn't it? God can use your witness and your testimony in a lot more effective ways if you will memorize God's Word. Another advantage is you'll have a radiant influence on other Christians. I remember I told you a little bit about that camp in the middle of the Delaware River. That was the time in my life when I started memorizing Scripture, and then I was memorizing a verse a day. And I'll tell you, the Lord was working in my life, and some people saw me, you know, flipping through some cards. They said, what are you doing? Some of the other camp counselors. So I showed it to them, and pretty soon we had a number of us. They were learning verses and writing them on cards. And on the weekends, we'd quiz each other. And during the day, I'd say, hey, what's your verse for today? And he'd say, my verse, what's yours? I didn't get mine down yet today, you know, or something like that. And we'd encourage each other and challenge each other with it. And I look back at that and think, man, just because I was learning some verses, a bunch of other guys got into it. That happened also at Christian College for me, where we started a little breakfast club because we used to stand in line. And while we're waiting in line to go into breakfast at college, we would learn our verses. And then we sat at a table together and we would quiz each other while we were eating breakfast. We had a Scripture memory breakfast club, you know. And the Lord will use you to influence other Christians. And you'll have an impact on other people's lives if you'll get serious about it. Another blessing you get from it is guidance in the decisions of life. Guidance in the decisions of life. Too often we decide things based on feelings. We're coming up to 1 Samuel chapter 15 in our study of 1 Samuel as a church. And we're going to see that Saul made his decision based on fear and feelings. And that's what sent him down the wrong road. If he would have just obeyed what the Bible said, he would have been fine. Now, we've seen the purpose and the prospects of Scripture memory. Now I want to give you the plan. Because if we're going to succeed, we've got to have a plan. If you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. Right? So you've got to have a plan. You've got to have a goal. You've got to have some kind of plan if you're going to try to memorize God's Word. And that plan is going to take work. The second word on your sheet there is work. You know, throughout the Bible, God puts His stamp of approval on work. Now, I know that's not a fun word to talk about, but it's going to take work. You know, as a kid, I remember walking around my dining room table and getting at nighttime because I didn't have time to learn the verse during the day, and I'd walk around the dining room table at nighttime. Sometimes I was so tired I'd stub my toe on the chair or something, and oh man, you know. It takes work. It takes some commitment to memorize God's word. But folks, it's worth the work. If it didn't take work, more people would be memorizing Scripture because the benefits are so overwhelming. But because it takes work, there are very few Christians who actually get into memorizing God's word. We kind of know what the Bible says. We kind of know, you know, vaguely what the words are. But guys, we believe every word's inspired. Amen? Amen? Every word? Okay? So every word's important. So we ought to learn word for word the Scripture as much as we can. Romans 12:11, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Ecclesiastes 9:10, and John 9:4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. It's going to take some work to memorize Scripture. Plan, work, and then pray. See, we need the Lord's help to do it. It's a spiritual exercise. And we can't just do it in our own discipline. We need to pray and say, Lord, help me to memorize your word. 2 Corinthians 3:5 says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything is of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. We're going to have to pray. And then John 15:5, I quoted that this morning, but it says, without him, we're nothing. Without him, we're nothing. So we've got to get his power and help, and we've got to pray for his help to do it. What I want to do is explain to you briefly a plan that you can use, and then we'll be done tonight. And I think some of you are ready for this. Okay, I'm not sure all of you are, but I think some of you are. So let me explain it to you here. What you do is you get you a 3x5 card. And on that 3x5 card, you write the reference to the verse that you want to learn up in the top left. You can write the date that you're going to start right here. And then I make four columns. This first column I call 5 days. 25 times I'm going to say it the first day, 20 times the second day, 15 times the third day, 10 times the fourth day, 5 times the fifth day. Then I'm going to say it once a day for 45 days, once a week for 7 weeks, and then once a month. Now, folks, by the time you get through these 50 days, you know that verse just like you know John 3:16. I could probably call on almost anybody in here to say John 3:16, and you could rattle it off. That's what happens when you memorize a verse with this way, because the repetition helps you. Now, you don't have to write all this down. I actually have a guide sheet that I will give to anybody who wants one after the service today. If you say, I'm not committing to a preacher, but I'll try it. Or maybe you'll want to commit to it. Either way, if you want a guide sheet, I'll give it to you that explains how the process works. Well, then when you go ahead and learn a second verse, you'll say that new verse 25 times, and then you'll say the old one 20 times. Then when you go to learn a third verse, you'll say that one 25 times, the other one 20, and then this one 15 times. And you just work through that way. On the other side, you write out the verse on the other side where the lines are. And that way you can quiz yourself. You can look at the verse and see if you remember the reference. You can look at the reference and see if you can say the verse. Just write on opposite sides. That's pretty simple. And then as you mark your card, it starts looking like this. That was the very first verse I learned. Now, that date wasn't the date I learned it. It was actually before that. But the very first verse I memorized with this system, I already knew John 3:16, but the first verse I learned with this system was Psalm 119:11. And I've now got a lot more months than that checked off. It's been a long time since I learned that verse. But that's what it'll look like after you've known that verse for quite a while and said it over and over again. That's a plan that'll work for you. I call it the 5-45-7 plan. Somebody told me it's the Ron Hood method. I don't remember who told me it. I think I learned it when I was a teenager, because that's when I started doing it, so I'm sure it's when I learned it. And I don't remember where it came from, but if you would like the plan, I have it written out for you here, and I got a sample card on the back, and I got a number of those sheets. And I even made some cards for you. So you have to write the verse on the back and pick your reference. But I already wrote all the four columns for you. How's that? I'll give you your first couple cards and get you started if you'd like to do it. You say, well, preacher, what verses should I learn? You can learn verses to battle temptations that you face. Or, I got an idea. The Scripture Memory Campaign. There you go. There's 36 verses. And we're going to turn this in on April 3rd. So if you started tonight or tomorrow and did a verse a day, you'd get all 36 of them. And the neat thing about it is if you did this system, you'd remember them. Now, how long does this take? Well, when you first start out, you just got one verse. Well, then the next day you got two. Then the next day you got three if you're doing a verse a day. Pretty soon you're going to have a stack, and your daily stack of cards is going to be 50 cards in a stack. When your stack gets that thick, that'll be, you know, almost 2 months before it gets that thick, that takes you 15 to 20 minutes a day. Now, that's significant. We're busy people, but that's not that much. You might think, man, it'll take forever. No, when you say them out loud and you're flipping through them, you're saying that one 25 times and just clipping through it, and then 20 times. And I always say them with feeling. I don't go, Psalm 119:11, thy word have I hidden in my sin against thee. Psalm 119:11, I don't say it like that. I say, Psalm 119:11, thy word have I hidden mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Psalm 119:11. Psalm 119:11, thy word have I hidden mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Psalm 119:11. And I count out 25 times on my fingers. I usually go 5, 10, 15, 20, 25. Count them out on my fingers, check it off, you know. And then go to 20 times for your old verse and 15. And I'll tell you what, you're going to know these verses. And come the end of the month, you'll say, preacher, I know these verses. And you don't have to remember them all to get them signed and turn in your sheet. But if you do the system, you'll remember them. You'll remember almost all of them. And you'll be so excited about it, you'll probably want to memorize Scripture the rest of your life if you get a taste of this and how it works. So I challenge you to consider it and pray about it. Some of you are ready for it. I brought one other resource tonight. I made two copies of it's actually kind of a sermon by a guy named Evangelist Greg Locke. I don't know if you ever heard of him. Tell you the truth, I never heard of him. I was looking for a sermon on Scripture memory by a guy named Jerry Savinsky. And I didn't find it online, but I found this one online. And I listened to it, and it was great. It was tremendous. I checked him out a little bit. I think he's Fundamental Baptist, and I think it's going to be good. But if you would want to listen to it and get some extra motivation about Scripture memory, he has a plan a little bit different from this. It's a topical plan, so that you can memorize verses on a certain topic. And you know, you might know 5 or 10 verses on a topic. If somebody says, well, how do you really know there's a hell? Boom, you got 10 verses about hell that you know. Because you use he doesn't call it the Greg Locke method, but that's what I'll call it, the Greg Locke method. So if you're interested in that, I'll let you have a CD. And if I run out of these, I can make some more. So I have those available as well. Tell you what, I'm going to have Josh come on up here. And if you would put these sheets for the plan and the cards on the back table. And if you're going to try it, take one or two of these cards. Don't take the whole stack. Leave some for somebody else. And then just get your own 3x5s. But I didn't want you to say, well, yeah, okay, I'll buy some 3x5s. And it's Monday, it's Tuesday, it's Wednesday. And by the time you buy your 3x5 cards, you lost your motivation. So I thought, man, if they want to start tonight, I got the cards for them. Okay, put those on the back table for me. Josh is like, you're crazy, Dad. I know, I get crazy about this kind of stuff. But I guess what happened was, when I was a teenager and I got into that, the Lord blessed my life so much. I was able to use those verses in soul winning. And now the verses I learned when I was a teenager are the verses I can still quote when I'm preaching. And I'm not saying you're going to be a preacher, but the Lord will use the verses that you learn incredibly in your life, and you'll never regret it. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. said, repetition is your best teacher. Repetition is your best teacher. And we've been talking about Brother Dave recovering from his hospital stay. Last year during the Scripture Memory Campaign, he came in and he goes, preacher, I said this one verse here 100 times. 100 times. I counted them. And I still don't have it perfect. And then he came back the next week and he goes, Now I got it. And some people it takes longer than others. Some of our minds are older than other minds. But all of us can do what we can to memorize God's Word. And you'll never regret it. A couple things. I encourage you to say it out loud. Maybe walk while you do. It keeps your blood flowing. Physically, that gets the oxygen going to your brain so that you think a little bit better. It's a lot better if you can maybe walk. Close the door of your bedroom and walk around in your bedroom. And if they think you're talking to yourself, don't worry about what they think. memorize God's words. and be a wonderful blessing to you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you've included many verses in your word about the importance of memorizing your word. Thank you for Jesus' example and how he battled temptations with Scripture. Thank you for David, who was able to say, "Thy word have I hidden mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. And oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day." He said, "Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb." Lord, I pray that you will have stirred in someone's heart, all of our hearts, Lord, a desire to memorize your word, but perhaps in someone's heart a desire to really get into it, to saturate their mind and their thinking with Scripture and see what you can do through their lives in the days, weeks, and months ahead. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.